Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Oh, as the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Back a few years ago, I filled in for a church for over a year, and I preached every Sunday. And you know, when you get kind of in the habit, it's a little different than being out of use for a while. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, I just wanted to say today that, you know, we came to this church, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, and we was here a little while, and the pastor asked me if I would take over the senior, kind of. We didn't have any ministry for the senior, so Sue and I kind of took that job, and we've enjoyed it. We've got the best seniors. I tell people we've got the cream of the crop. We've got the best seniors in the area, I think, and God has really blessed us in this ministry, and we're thankful. We're thankful for all of our seniors, and then they kind of put me in as a senior pastor that first year, and I'm thankful for that. We've tried to do things along this line. And I want to say, you know, Saturday morning, we studied in the men's Bible study, or men of valor. We studied about the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. God is love. I mean, the whole chapter is about love. And, you know, I'm glad for a church that loves. I love all of you. I appreciate you. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful because we can gather together in love and unity. And I'm thankful for the blessing of the Lord that is in this place. And we were, as the Spirit of God was moving here this morning and people coming for have their needs met. This is what the ministry is all about, to have needs met. And thank God we have a place where people can come and pray for one another, minister to one another in different ways, and just help each other to be strong and to be overcomers. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. And when we come and we begin to have a testimony, we have a testimony that God is real, God is able, God is the answer. I wanted to talk a little bit today on Matthew, the 7th chapter, and beginning at the 7th verse. The theme of the first part here is prayer. And Jesus was the one that gave all this. It's in red, so I know it's Jesus. Hallelujah. But he said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives. And he that seeks finds, them that knock it shall be opened. For what man is there of you, if his son ask bread, would he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, would he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Hallelujah. The thing about seeking and finding, the thing about the Word, we can seek the Word. And God is in the Word. God is the Word. God is all that we need, isn't He? The thing, let's see, I got it on the wrong page. Prayer is asking and receiving, and asking and receiving is actually talking to God. You know, the thing about talking to God, it's a two-way street. We don't have to just say, well, I think it's time for me to do all the talking. Sometimes it's a good idea to listen. And when we listen, sometimes we get new things in our heart. Jeremiah 33:3, I've heard it's called the God's phone number, Jeremiah 33:3. He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I'll show you great and mighty things which you know not. And I believe it's a good phone number. It's a good phone call. Call unto me. Call unto me. And Paul writes in Philippians 4:6, he said, be careful or worried about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We can bring these needs, we can seek God and find him and bring these needs to him. And he is the answer. He's the one that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we even ask or think. Hallelujah. And then he went on to say, seek and you shall find, knock or ask and it shall be given you. And then seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. I was thinking about the unjust judge. The widow came to him. She had problems. And she said, avenge me of my adversaries. And he would not, because they said he didn't have any regard for man or God. And she came back and she said, avenge me of my adversaries. She kept on and on. And finally, he said, if I don't do something, she's going to worry me till it's beyond, you know. So, and he said, Jesus said just to pray and then kind of forget it. He said, if we don't get the answer, knock again. Knock, knock, knock. And the Lord will answer. Praise the name of the Lord. And then he said, what man is there of you if his son asks bread, would he give him a stone? You know, I don't really believe we have to worry about any fathers like that in our area. But I'm sure there's people. I heard, like Bill Wilson, he's got the largest Sunday school in New York City. And when he was a little boy, his mother drove down, said, you sit here on the sidewalk and I'll be back and get you. And she never showed up. And he sat there all day, and finally a man came and he picked the little boy up. I don't know, he's 6 or 7 years old, I think. And he was a man that loved God. A man that taught him the things of God. And today, he's got the largest Sunday school in the city of New York, and mainly because of love. Someone loved him. And love is a great thing. You know, John 4:8 says, God is love. God is love. And thinking about this Pharisee. Well, they said the Pharisees were kind of concerned because Jesus had kind of hushed the Sadducees. But there's a Pharisee lawyer, and he came to Jesus, and he said, what is a great commandment? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, I believe he said this is the greatest commandment. In fact, he said, on these two hang all the law and the prophets, just on these two scriptures. Love the Lord your God with everything. Love your neighbor as yourself. And sometimes we have to learn to love ourselves so we can be a better lover of our neighbors. But it's a great thing to be a lover, to love God and to love each other. And I thank God for the love that he gives us. There's a great thing about loving. And in Jeremiah 12, he talked about knocking here, seeking, finding. He said, Jeremiah 12, or 29, 12, and 13, you shall call upon me, pray unto me, and I will hearken to you, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Sometimes we have to get serious with God. You know, Jeremiah 58, anyway, talks about fasting. There's times when we need to fast and pray. There's times when we need to get so serious with God that God just can't resist us. You know, he just can't resist us. He says, I've got to answer this prayer. I've got to do what he's asking me to do. And so knocking is a very important thing. And this part here says that when the father, he said, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? God is a giver. He's the greatest giver that there ever was. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, a sinful, ungodly world. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He wants everybody to be saved, the Lord does. He desires everybody to know him. But so many people today, they kind of go their own way, and it seemed like the main thing is self. Self is the most important thing in their lives. The 12th verse is the golden rule. I can remember when I was a kid in grade school, they taught us the golden rule. I don't think they had anything to do with the Bible, but they said, give and it shall be given. And also it said, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. But they said, do unto others as you'd have them do to you. And I was taught that as a little boy in grade school, but I had no idea it had anything to do with the Word of God. But the Word of God has opened up a lot of things to me that I didn't realize when I was a boy. When I was 17 years old, I accepted the Lord. My wife had got saved when she was about a year and a half earlier. And I was a prodigal son. I decided I was going to see the world as a young man. And I took off from Missouri to South Dakota and worked in the wheat harvest. And then I ended up going to Wyoming, and I worked up there in a filling station. And then I caught a ride with a guy in a semi and went to Texas and spent some time on a little cattle ranch in Texas. It's only 36 sections. They didn't have acres in Texas. So we would crawl on a horse and ride from morning till night. And I told one of the guys, I knew Sue, I didn't even write home. Sue never knew where I was at, but she was praying for me. And when I was in Wyoming, I had I felt like I needed to go to the doctor. And they told me, oh, you got kidney infection. So I had kidney, they doctored me for kidney infection. And after Sue and I was married, about 2.5 years later, I guess, I got real sick in the night, and I was laying there just rolling and screaming, actually. And Sue called the doctor. We was farming a doctor's place back there at the time. He came out and got me, and the next day they took me down to St. Joe, Missouri, about 70 miles in his ambulance. And they cut me open, and I was full of gangrene, and my appendix had been ruptured for 2.5 years. And most people, when they're appendicitis operation, a lot of people never make it to the hospital. And God saved me because Sue was praying that God would save me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank God for a loving wife. She's been with me now 56 and a half years. And I tell you, it's been uphill and downhill. But as a guy back in Missouri one time used to sing, every time we'd go to his church, said, "The good times outweigh the bad." Hallelujah. And he went on to say, well, he told about the golden rule is something that's very important with anybody. "Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Then he said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the way and narrow is the gate that leads to life, and few there be that find it. You know, I heard several years ago, they had a thing on TV, and they was telling about different states and how many people in the state were really born-again Christians. And Washington just surprised me at that time. Hopefully it's changed since then, but at that time they said about 5% of the people in the state of Washington were born-again Christians. And it just kind of blew my mind. But you know, if you drive out here today and you drive down the highway when everybody's bought so many people in church, the highways are full of people just going, doing things, and you drive by homes and people are just doing their thing. But thank God we can enter in at the straight gate to eternal life, and we find life everlasting. Life everlasting. Praise the name of the Lord. Then he went on to talk about false prophets, Jesus did. He said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. A corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. And a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. But every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." So it's very important to be good fruit bearers. Very important to be good fruit bearers. You know, we're actually known by our fruits, aren't we? I've heard many people say, well, you know, in the first part of Matthew 7, it talks about judge not, that you be not judged. But the thing about so many people, they say, well, we can't judge, but we can be fruit bearers. I don't know how much difference there is. How much difference is there really to being a fruit bearer and really a judge, you know? And so we have to kind of watch how we view other people and view the needs, because sometimes it's up to us to help them to overcome. It's sometimes up to us to help them to be on the right track. The thing that, the next part here is something that I was kind of concerned about. It says, "Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. For many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." And I got to thinking, my, that's a pretty hard statement. And then I got to thinking about Solomon. Solomon was a man that just had everything going for him. Man, he built his own house. He built a great temple. The temple, actually, Solomon's father, he had saved up $576 million in gold to build this temple. And he also had 36,960,000 dollars worth of silver to build this temple. You know, in today's economy, that probably take care of our debt in the United States. But, and I don't know how much Solomon put into this thing out of his own pocket, and people from all over. They did all kinds of things to build this temple. The most expensive temple that was ever built, probably the most expensive temple that, because of the gold. It wasn't because of the structure. I mean, maybe we can look out and see on the news and so forth, these big high rises that go up 100 stories high and better. We can see all these things, and millions of dollars go into these, but you don't have the gold. They put gold over everything. I mean, this place where you walk in, and I mean, it was fabulous. There was nothing like it. And there never has been anything like it since. But then when Israel began to sin and began to forget God, it kind of collapsed and people began to steal from it. But the thing about Solomon, he'd done all these good things, and then he had one drawback, and I want to read it to you in the 11th chapter of 1 Kings. But Solomon loved many strange women of the nation concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall you they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. And Solomon clave to these in love. He had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. How many of you married women would like to share your husband with 999 women? Can you imagine? 1,000 women. Woo! There's been times when I wondered how I was going to get along with one. But I'm sure there was more times she was wondering how she's going to get along with one. Oh, the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, the Lord had appeared to him twice. And the Lord appeared to him the first time and he told him, ask what you will and I'll give it to you. And he said he wanted to have understanding to do work with all these people. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you the understanding. I'm going to give you riches. He didn't ask for riches or honor or long life or anything, but I'm going to give you all those things. And then he spoke again to him in 2 Chronicles 7, or the 13th chapter, 13th verse. He said, if I shut up the heavens that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. And he went on to say, now my eyes will be open and my ears attent to the prayer that was made in this place. And I believe God is looking at us the same way. He's saying, you know, we're living in a land that's getting corrupt all the time. But our part is to pray and seek God's face and do what we can. And God will hear and answer prayer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Then we'll go on back to Matthew. So, the thing that I really feel like that a lot of people have had everything good. They've been working for God and so forth. And something comes along that turns their whole ideas about God. They get their eyes on worldly things, get their eyes on even some, as Solomon did, on women. And the first thing you know, they've kind of left God out to the side. They've got other things more important. And then as long as you drift away, unless there's something really drastic happens, you keep drifting. You keep drifting. You go further and further away. And as you go further and further away, sometimes you forget God all completely. And then these other things, he said, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me that work iniquity. The next portion here, therefore, whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be like unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. For the rain descended and the floods came and the wind blew and they beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. Tell you, we got to build on that rock. That rock is Christ Jesus. Build on the rock. Glory to God. And build on this rock that's forever. Hallelujah. And then he said, what I wanted to really bring out, he said to hear and then do. Hear and do. If we hear and do, then he said the rain descended, floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, was founded upon a rock. In the next verse, he said, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. For the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and they beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Be careful how you build. Build on the rock. Build on Jesus. And went on to say, when it came to pass... I was thinking, every time I read that verse or hear that verse, I think of Joyce Knobs' mother. She said, you know, my favorite scripture is it came to pass. It came to pass. Glory to God. And it said, it came to pass when Jesus at the end of these things, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And Jesus still has the authority, and he's still the answer, and he's still the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. Lord, your word is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It's alive. It's alive. Hallelujah. And Lord, we thank you today because you are the answer to every situation. You said, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Lord, we thank you because we can call on you and you will answer. We're thankful, Lord, for the love of God and the peace of God that passes all understanding. We're thankful today, Lord, for the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it, according to Proverbs. We're thankful today because we know the God that's the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you, Lord, because you love us with an everlasting love, according to Ezekiel 33:1. You love us with an everlasting love. Lord, we can't imagine love like this, but you love us that way. Lord, we thank you for the love of God. We thank you for the peace of God. And we thank you, Lord, that we can gather together to worship you. Lord, that you would be exalted. We give you the praise, honor, and glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Greet one another.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.